Here's Ronaldo!
Oh, my goodness. You don't save those. Out of this world.
Messi. Messi! Messi!
3-0!
Landon Donovan, there are things on here for the USA. Can they do it here? Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this? Go, go, USA! Certainly through! Oh, it's incredible! You could not write a script like this!
For the fourth time, the United States of America are crowned champions of the world.
From the international stage to right here at home, this is FUVFC, talking all things soccer on WFUV Sports.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of FUVFC, WFUV's one and only soccer podcast, and arguably the best podcast that we have to offer here at WFUV. I am your host, Diego Martinez Reyes, and I am joined alongside the lovely, amazing Ashley Wendt. We got an OG crew here. We're vibing, but first of all, Ashley, how are you doing?
Very good, very good. You know, this is probably last time since like summer I've been consistently on the podcast, so it's nice talking with everyone, getting the schedules worked out, but yeah, we got some really exciting things that we're going to be talking about.
Love that. Love that. Yeah. Speaking of things to talk about, we're going to keep it nice, simple, short this time around. We're not going to waste any time. And we're going to talk about arguably what is the most important competition that is going on right now. MLS. I'm kidding. We're talking about the UCL. We're going to be talking first about PSG's romping of Aston Villa, briefly talking a little bit about Barcelona. The Barca boys are back, question mark? We don't know. We'll talk about that. And then we'll wrap up with the other side of Spain, Real Madrid, facing free kick madness by Declan Rice again in Arsenal at the Emirates. But starting off, PSG, it looked like they were at the driver's seat for 90 minutes, which is something that we rarely get to see this time around for the French side. And most importantly, they played beautiful football. Ashley, what do you have to say about this French team that has been deemed plastic for so long, finally playing this attractive style of football?
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it was watching, like, if you watch the match, like, you just saw how PSG just overwhelmed them. And I don't know, I feel like it's really a big turning point for them. And, you know, they had a lot of quality plays and they were putting the pressure on, and that paid off, which I think is, you know, the biggest thing for them is they had that consistent pressure. And you know how much I talk about consistency in soccer. So even just in like one match, you can see how consistency pays off.
No, of course. And you know, I specifically want to highlight the I believe it was the second goal of Vicha Kvaratskhelia, which I don't know if you were able to see it. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Him taking on defenders, sending one to the ground, using his skill to get into the box and sending it near post where Emi Martinez couldn't necessarily get any semblance of a touch to. This is the rise of what we can say as old school classic technical wingers, and another one, Doué. Doué has been remarkable for PSG this season. And I think the way that this team is constructed, I was a big doubter of PSG this early on this season, and especially last season where they were still in this adjustment period. But you know, I think they're really putting it together, and I don't think it would be a hot take for me to say that this is the hottest team in the UCL right now, because it looks like this isn't even their strongest form. As yeah, they had some defensive leaks. They weren't necessarily perfect for 90 minutes. They still conceded a goal. But, I mean, it was a great performance. On the other side, Aston Villa, losing 3-1 away. Unai Emery, typically a manager known for these types of tournaments, normally the Europa League. Ashley, overall, what are your thoughts? Is it time to press the panic button for Aston Villa when it comes to their chances in the UCL?
You know, maybe, maybe not. I'm kind of in the point where it's like, kind of like, was it just like a PSG got lucky? So is it just like one game where they weren't playing well for Villa? Like, I feel like for me, it's still very much up in the air because Aston Villa is a very strong team. And like you've mentioned, PSG, like, they've had this adjustment period in the past year. And like, I do think they handle that very well. But is that going to be like a consistent thing that we're going to see? And I mean, even at just looking at like the standings, I mean, Aston Villa is what, 3 ahead of Real Madrid? Real Madrid is sitting at 11 right now. And then Aston Villa is 8. So yeah, 3. So is it something they really need to like? I don't think this game for them was like a wake-up call, but I think the pressure is definitely on Villa to do better. But I don't think that they're going to risk losing everything just because of this one match. I think PSG is the team that has a lot more to prove versus Aston Villa.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that maybe I would lean a little closer to Aston Villa needing to press the panic button because of how easy that side of the group is. Now that Liverpool is out and now that so many things have happened within that side of the group. Unai Emery has been a manager for these tournament style games. And if anybody knows how to be a comeback king, it's him. I think losing John Duran over the winter transfer feed to Al Nassr. Yeah, losing a 21-year-old striker phenom, that's always going to sting, but I think you have Ollie Watkins, you have a Marcus Rashford that's playing like the second coming of Jesus. Homie is really proving anybody that doubted him from his United time. He really shutting people up, and I think this isn't a Villa side that if any team is coming back within the deficits that have been created in this first leg, I think it'll be Villa. And then we're going to talk a little bit from 3 goals to 4, but this time a little bit about the Barcelona boys. 4-0. 4-0 against Borussia Dortmund. I mean, I've been asked this question every single big win for Barcelona, and that's our Barca back. And I mean, it's showing more and more that they are. But Ashley, what do you think of the game? Are Barcelona back? Do you think Dortmund have a slimmer of a chance to come back down 4-0?
For Barcelona, I feel like for this team, and we've seen this a lot last summer and we've talked about this, it's like a slow and steady rebuilding. And I think it is paying off for them. Like they are taking, you know, a lot younger players and, you know, they're just really focusing on building up those players within their own like team structure. And I think it is playing off. Are they back? Is the question. Will they ever reach what they were however many years ago? I don't know, because that was an iconic time of football. Can you really recreate that with this team that they have now? I don't think so. But I think they are going to be back or like bounce back in a way that we haven't seen Barca play before. Like it's going to be completely new. As for Dortmund, I mean, I think, you know, for them, they maybe should press the panic button. I think it's going to be a very slim chance for them. I think there's a very low percentage in my mind of them, you know, coming back from this because this is, you know, this is a blow to them. And so I think for them, you know, they struggled with possession, you know. I don't know. It's just not as strong as a team as like I remember them being. But then, you know, when you're going against a team like Barcelona, who's really been focusing on rebuilding their team structure, is that like warranted? Like, how much time and effort are Barcelona putting into playing versus like the other teams? Like, obviously, every team is working hard, but are they rebuilding as much as Barcelona? They have, Barcelona has that mental pressure. I don't think Dortmund does. Like, obviously, the pressure of, the UCL is a lot, but both teams are going at it at different points. So I think it will be hard for Dortmund to come back from this, or it's just going to be a heavy hit for them.
Yeah, I mean, Dortmund are kind of digging themselves into a UCL hole here. They're not really in a position in the Bundesliga to really compete as well. And I mean, their Bundesliga foes also dropped the first leg, but this time against the Italian giants of Inter Milan. I don't know if you were able to catch that game, but it was a beautiful game of arguably probably the most attractive football that we've seen throughout this first leg. First goal by Inter, Lautaro Martinez, with a beautiful Travella, and really give themselves that front foot. And then Thomas Muller, the one player that has been rumored and now confirmed to be leaving after 25 years at the club, scored in the 85th. And then Fratesi dedicating the goal to his grandma, who passed away in the 88th, to give Inter Milan the first leg win. Another question of Bayern losing in big matches and not being able to really capitalize in an equalizing or leading position. Do you think it's time for company to really be reassessed as the manager for Bayern, or do you think you want to see the season come to an end?
I don't know. That's like a hard question. Like, I feel like for Bayern, I mean, they got a little bit work. Like, they have not a little bit, they have a lot of work to do. But I think, if we're comparing them to Dortmund, I think there's a solid chance that they'll be able to see it through.
No, I think that's more
Everything's
than
up
fair.
in the air, especially, with this new format and everything. Like,
I think with this new format, we've kind of like run that course. We're kind of in a more traditional standpoint when it comes to the knockout rounds. I think, yeah, it's 2-1 versus 4-0. I think this German club has a better chance than Dortmund to really come from behind. But we're also talking about arguably what is historically known as one of the best defensive teams in the world in Inter Milan. There is no doubt in my mind that I know that Inter is gonna park the bus for the next 90 minutes, and I think it's really telling for this Inter side to be able to be so offensively lethal. And I think they're going to have a lot of motivation considering their loss in the Champions League final against Manchester City. But I mean, we've got one more match to talk about, and I think it segued perfectly from Fratesi's and Lautaro Martinez's bangers. And I think we got to talk about the free kick specialist in Declan Rice, and we have to talk about 3-0 at the Emirates. Real Madrid versus Arsenal. Ashley, what are your thoughts?
Insane lineup, insane outcome. And I'm sure our listeners know how big of a Real Madrid fan you are. They can't see it, but you're shaking your head right now. I feel like I need to ask this question back to you. What was your raw reaction after that match?
I mean,
An insane match
wow.
that happened.
I mean, the common meme throughout the entirety of the game is Mbappe, Bellingham. Their faces are just like, you can't see my face for all those who are listening, but it's like utter like, okay, there's nothing we can do about this. I'm just gonna say two things. Arsenal wholeheartedly deserved that win. Arsenal were by far the better team. Declan Rice showed why he is one of the best midfielders in the world. But if any team is able to come back down three goals, for the first time in UCL history. It's Real Madrid at the Bernabeu. I think the series is not over until it is over, but that is not me saying we're going to win. I think that's just saying just wait until Ancelotti raises his eyebrow one final time in minute 96 in the second leg, and somebody like Rodrigo will score similar to that Manchester City game. Because Madrid are inevitable. Madrid are that Champions League bug that will never go away.
Yeah.
And this is also me speaking of my love of Chelsea. I certainly hope they don't Arsenal don't make it through, but I know for a fact that if they do beat Madrid, their road to the final and to the Champions League title at least won't get any easier.
Yeah.
Because you're either seeing Bayern or Milan basically in the final.
Yeah, and for like this match for Real Madrid, like I'll admit they had their odds stacked against them. Like it would have been a hard match for them, like this game on the day that they played, it would have been hard no matter what. You know, there were injuries, you know, they have players going in and out, but I think all of like the internal issues that don't necessarily correlate with Real Madrid's ability to play, it was just not a good matchup against Arsenal's midfield. It was just all of Real Madrid's odds were stacked against them, and it was stacked against Arsenal's midfield, which they have a very, very strong, intense midfield. Like it would have been a hard match regardless, and it would have been a good game, but Madrid was just. They had their like odds stacked against them, and I don't necessarily think that's their fault, but I do think, like you said, Real Madrid is a team that can come back from this.
Yeah, when you spend over $1 billion on player transfers, you expect to not have that problem. But I think technically they weren't at their strongest. I think honestly they were also impatient in 50-50 balls. I think Arsenal were just at every chance. They were first at every chance. They were always quick to move the ball forward. They were always quick to move the ball in transitional play. I think Madrid were often slow in transitional play, which is why they were caught in so many fouls, which led to things like the two Declan Rice free kicks. Keep in mind, in over 300 Premier League games, Declan Rice has never scored one free kick. And now he's done it twice. Top corner against Real Madrid in the Champions League. I think this is exactly why you need to get better in your transitional defense, because then you get caught lacking and you ultimately foul somebody in a dangerous spot, whether it be a penalty or whether it be right outside. And yeah, I mean, I think this will be the toughest comeback for Madrid in their long history of comebacks. This Arsenal squad is at their all-time highest, and this Madrid side are arguably on their lowest. Camavinga, in the l last couple of moments of the match, kicked the ball away from the referee and got himself a wonderful red card. So we are without arguably one of our most technically versatile players, which I think we're certainly going to need him, especially when we're talking about two of the most technical midfielders in the world in Martin Odegaard and Declan Rice. Odegaard, keep in mind, was a Real Madrid project player before joining Arsenal. So, I mean, all of this is just to say that Madrid were not putting their best foot forward. Arsenal were, and Arsenal punished Madrid for it, because Arsenal are a team to really punish teams, especially when they don't bring their best. You see teams like Fulham, you see teams like Villa beat Arsenal, and we think Arsenal aren't the strongest team or one of the strongest teams in the Premier League. But we don't really examine the fact that those teams that beat Arsenal bring their best, bring their highest quality goal scoring, bring their biggest technicality in the midfield, and bring their biggest physicality in the back line. And so I think if Madrid didn't do that and they got punished for it, and I don't necessarily think there's anything else to say besides that. I mean, losing 3-0 is telling. I think making that two free kicks doesn't necessarily look the same as it being like a flat out three goal win. But at the end of the day, I mean, Mikel Merino's strike, in, if I remember, it was the 85th minute. He was unbelievable from outside the 18, and he curled in right past Thibaut Courtois. So it's not like they completely, like, just got robbed of the game because of two free kicks. No, Arsenal just outplayed Madrid, and there's nothing else to say besides that.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want a rapid fire? I mean, these games of who we're gonna win. We don't gotta say a score prediction, but let's start with Madrid Arsenal. Who's winning the series?
Madrid Arsenal. I honestly feel like it would be Real Madrid.
I'm gonna say Arsenal just because I don't necessarily think we have the gunpowder to firepower to do it. Because we don't have a player like Ronaldo anymore. But I like where your head's at.
Yeah.
Where your head's at for sure. All right. Aston Villa versus PSG. Who's winning that?
Villa.
Villa. Okay. I'm gonna disagree with you two times in a row. I'm going the Parisian PSG boys are making it past. I'm going to go to Inter Milan and Bayern Munich. Who's coming out on top?
Inner.
Inter? I'm gonna agree. I think Inter's strong enough. I think their defense is way better than Bayern's, and I think it'll be a battle of parking the buses. And the most difficult one by far, Barcelona versus Borussia Dortmund. Who's gonna come out on top in the second leg?
I gotta go for Barcelona.
Oh, tough pick. Tough pick right there. I'm gonna be inclined to agree with you. Two agreements there. Yeah, you can't come back down 4-0. I'm sorry. Like, in no world is that really feasible, and I think we both know that, and which makes this such a tough decision.
Yeah,
But
but only
this,
time will tell.
yeah. Well, I guess we'll see. We'll see next week. But this has been it from us, as we want to keep it rapid fire as possible. This has been Diego Martinez Reyes and. I was joined by Ashley Wendt here. Don't forget to show love to our older episodes of FUVFC, along with all our other podcasts that we have available,
It's
because FUVFC is a product
Ronaldo! Oh
of
my goodness!
FUV Sports.
You don't
See you guys
see
later.
those! Out of this world! Messi! 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 3-0! Landon Donovan, there are things on here for the USA. Can they do it here? Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Can you believe this? Go, go, USA! Certainly through. Oh, it's incredible. You could not write a script like this.
For the fourth time, the United States of America are crowned champions of the world.
From the international stage to right here at home, this is FUVFC, talking all things soccer on WFUV Sports.